We've been reading from Canto 3, Chapter 29. And we're getting a summary verse this morning. We'll read two verses, text 33, 34. Kapila Deva summarizing grades of consciousness and what's the superlative person is the unalloyed devotee who abides by the standards of devotional service and has a clear sense of the Supreme Personality of God. It is within every living being. And corresponding with that realization or consciousness is having a friendly disposition towards all living entities, which means no animosity towards any living entities, and being charitable towards living entities. In an appropriate manner corresponding to their position of consciousness. Therefore, text 33, I do not find a greater person than he who has no interest outside of mine, and who, therefore, engages and dedicates all his activities and all his life, everything, unto me without cessation. Nirantara is the Sanskrit word, without cessation. Nirantara. Purport. In this verse, the word sama, darshanat, means that he no longer has any separate interest. So this is going back to the language that was before, bina, darshana. Bina is separate, sama is nothing separate. The interest of the Supreme Lord is the interest of that person. No longer any separate interest, the semicolon. The devotee's interest and the Supreme Personality of Godhead's interest are one. That's love. The interest of the beloved is the interest of the lover. The interest of the master is the interest of the servant. The interest of the dearmost friend is the interest of the person who holds them as their dearmost friend. The interest of the Supreme Father is the interest of the part and parcel of the Supreme Father. No separate interest. For example, Lord Chaitanya, in the role of a devotee, also preached the same philosophy. He preached that Krishna is the worshipful Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that the interest of his pure devotees is the same as his own. Paragraph. Sometimes, Mayavadi philosophers, due to a poor fund of knowledge, define the word sama-darshanat to mean that a devotee should see himself one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is foolishness. When one thinks himself to be one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no question of serving him. When there is service, there must be a master. Three things must be present for there to be service: the master, the servant, and the service. Here it is clearly stated that he who has dedicated his life, all his activities, his mind, and his soul, everything, for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, is considered to be the greatest person. And all these things are mentioned in the verse. Ashesha Kriya, all actions, Artha, all wealth, Atma, life and soul, Arpita, worshipped or offered to Krishna. mind absorbed in Krishna, dedicated sannyasta karmana, detached from the fruits but offering everything to Krishna. So that's a nice position. Samadarshana. The word, the next paragraph, the word akartu, akartu. Akartu means, quote, without any sense of proprietorship. Everyone wants to act as the proprietor of his actions so that he can enjoy the result. A devotee, however, has no such desire. He acts because the personality of Godhead wants him to act in a particular way. He has no personal motive. When Lord Chaitanya preached Krishna consciousness, it was not with the purpose that people would call him Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, he preached that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he should be worshipped as such. A devotee who is a most confidential servant of the Lord never does anything for his personal account, but does everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. It is clearly stated, therefore, Mayi sanyasta karmanaha. The devotee works, but he works for the Supreme. It is also stated, Mayarpi tatmanaha, which means he gives his mind unto me. These are the qualifications of a devotee who, according to this verse, is accepted as the highest of all human beings. Just a little comment. Akartu, that means without any sense of proprietorship. Now, karta, it appears in Bhagavad Gita, karta means to do. And if one thinks of oneself as the doer, karta aham, I am the doer. What follows, if I'm the doer, it's immediately follows. If I'm the doer, then what I've done, the fruit belongs to me. I'm the proprietor. The doer becomes the proprietor, and the proprietor becomes the enjoyer. 1, 2, 3. Aham and mama. I and mine. I am the doer, it's mine, and I'm the enjoyer of that which is mine. And that's material consciousness. So then, without proprietorship means I am the servant or the instrument of the master, and through me the master is acting, and so therefore I'm the instrument, but he's the doer, therefore he's the proprietor, therefore he's the enjoyer. And so this is self-realization. The self-conception becomes not only I am spirit soul, but specifically as spirit soul, I'm part of the Supreme Spirit. I'm the part serves the whole. I'm Krishna's servant. That's self-realization. I'm Krishna's servant. I'm Krishna's instrument of Krishna's will. And therefore, no sense of proprietorship. We do things. We're not lazy or lethargic or complacent or inattentive. It's the opposite. If you're doing... Here's like a human reality. Supposing I've had this happen. Somebody has asked me, can you carry such and such object to India for me and give it to me in India. Like, without naming the names, one sannyasi does photography. So he requested eBay in America, you can get a lens for photography and filters and this and that. So can you purchase them for me And then when you come to India, I'll, you know, give them to me and I'll reimburse you for the cost, sure. So of all the stuff that I'm carrying, the like way up here of importances, I want to make sure this thing that I'm carrying for somebody else makes it to them more than, you know, anything, everything. Because it belongs to someone. And I, you know, as in the mood of serving another person or something like that. Some money is owed to that person and you're carrying some money that's owed to that person. Whatever you're carrying, that's even more important than whatever it is that the money that you're carrying, because it's just human or natural. So similarly, if that wonderful day comes, then we can understand there's a proprietor, because there's a source of everything, there's the proprietor of everything. And even once, you know, there's the source, what's the ongoing connection? There's this super soul situated in the heart, and he's sanctioning that we can do. Like, we can walk across the floor because he takes mobility away. We can't walk across the floor. We can't do anything. So ability comes from super soul, and then we interact with the energy that comes from the Supreme Lord, and something gets done, and the fruit belongs to the Supreme Lord. It's very simple. And then that's meant to be used in the service of the Supreme Lord somehow, how whatever is appropriate. And that's non-possessiveness. And the word that's being used is akartuhu. Karta again means doing. I'm not the doer. And therefore, I'm not the proprietor. I'm doing, but I'm not the cause of the result of the action. Krishna teaches that in Bhagavad Gita. It's a really nice verse, kind of like checkmate. Krishna says to Arjuna, never consider yourself to be the cause of action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the result of action. And never consider yourself to be inducing others to act. You take away those things, and that's life. We do things, we cause results to happen, and we cause other people to do things. You take away that, and what's left? You're lifeless. No, all that's being carried out by material nature. It's a paradigm shift where instead of acting through false ego, starting with the misconception of I am this body, you have a spiritual conception of I'm spirit, soul, part of Krishna, meant to serve him, and with his sanction, maya jakshena prakriti, with his sanction, material nature moves. Time energy is there, and Krishna is there, and we make some endeavor, that's what we do. We want to serve Krishna, and we make some endeavor, whatever that field is, you know. Those of us hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam message, we each have our different, what we do to serve Krishna position. And when we, you know, go about our day to day, we're going to be doing something. And the Krishna conscious position is that thing that we do, it's service to Krishna. He's sanctioning whatever ability we have to do whatever we're going to do well. That came from Krishna, so it's Krishna's. And the result is up to Krishna. We want to do better than yesterday, whatever we're going to do today. We want to always improve. But that's a desire that requires the sanction of Krishna, that we have to act intelligently with the intelligence that Krishna gives, to improve. But ultimately, someone can study very hard or work very hard or do something, and the result may not come. Another person may not make such a strenuous effort, and the result may come. In our case, it's not like, I hope I don't have to do so much and I get the result. I wish to make a sincere offering of effort to serve Krishna, please Krishna, and ultimately he's the enjoyer, he's the proprietor, he's the sanctioner, he's the best friend in all circumstances, whether the sine curve is up or down, whether it seems like things are going well or not going well. That just to remain in that relationship of loving service to Krishna, steadily fixed, without a sense of what's in it for me, consciousness. This is what's being described. That's the topmost human being. Without a sense of proprietorship, not seeing oneself separate, not seeing others separate from the Supreme Lord, no separate interest from the Supreme Lord. Not seeing ourselves as God. It's kind of scary that the degree to which people think like that, literally, I'm God. It's like it's so obviously silly, but so many people buy into it because the language sounds cool or whatever, and there's that aspiration anyways. So juggle some words nicely, and that's where we're all headed, becoming God. Okay. So text 34. Such a perfect devotee offers respects to every living entity because he is under the firm conviction that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has entered the body of every living entity as the Supersoul or Controller, which is not a new idea. He's already spoken like this. Here's the purport. A perfect devotee, as described above, does not make the mistake of thinking that because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Paramatma, has entered into the body of every living entity has become the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is foolishness. Suppose that a person enters into a room. That does not mean that the room has become that person. Similarly, that the Supreme Lord has entered into each of the 8,400,000 particular types of material bodies does not mean that each of these bodies has become the Supreme Lord. Because the Supreme Lord is present, however, a pure devotee accepts each body as the temple of the Lord. And since the devotee offers respect to such temples in full knowledge, he gives respect to every living entity in relationship with the Lord. Mayavadi philosophers wrongly think that because the Supreme Person has entered the body of a poor man, the Supreme Lord has become Daridra Narayan, or poor Narayan. These are all blasphemous statements of atheists and non-devotees. You, both of you, are familiar with the Dharidharayan idea, but you're maybe not so familiar. There was a very popular person in India not so long ago, and he popularized this Dharidharayan phrase. He's an impersonalist, saying that, you know, the poor people should be regarded as God. And then, you know, at other times, Prabhupada would say, they worship the poor person as God, but the deity in the temple is not God. So the opposite is what Kapila is saying. When worshiping the deity, it's incomplete, or it's a separatist mentality to think the deity is God, and there's not God within the heart of all living beings. So worshipping the deity is fantastic, and seeing the personality of Godhead within the heart of all living beings is likewise fantastic, because it's true. Now, how do we worship the deity in a particular way, and we offer respect to others in a particular way that's not necessarily worshipping them as a deity, because Krishna's in their heart, the respect is offered in an appropriate manner. in a friendly manner, and some discrimination is needed to understand how to do those things. But very strongly, whenever there's an opportunity, Srila Prabhupada would speak strongly about the impersonal notion. And it's kind of like, by default, that if you don't have a personal conception, you'll have an impersonal conception. If there's a spiritual idea, a spiritual inclination. So one of the gifts, great gifts of ISKCON, we were speaking about this in Houston during the inaugural event before this Boston event. What were the gifts of ISKCON to the world? So big one is a personal conception. Because even in teachings, religious teachings that speak of God as person, it's very vague. For example, the Bible teaches God the Father. And so there's this notion of God the Father. But when invitations are passed out, tracts by Christian people, if there's some section of that where there's a depiction of God, I've seen, because I've received them from people, there's two kinds that I've seen. One is a cloud in the sky, and then this kind of mixed with the cloud in the sky illustration, there's a picture of a face of an old man with a big long beard. The rest of his body doesn't show, just a long, you know, an old, wise, bearded man in the sky, in the clouds. Then another one looks like Abe Lincoln in the Lincoln Memorial. There's this really stern-looking personality sitting in a very tall chair, very, 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 very tall, making judgments on people. And that's God. In that sense, God is a person. That's like, at least some have that idea. But then when they see a painting of Krishna, they see, that's a very nice painting. Who's that? That's God. No. Directly, I've had experience. Now, some people don't directly say it, but you can feel the vibration to go. So, that God is a person indicates form and quality and name and pastimes. Like that, again, that young man that was at the right outside the elevator from the sacred space. Is this the only way? Because that's kind of what people normally say, this is the only way and everything else is not okay. Rather, the conception is complete. The conception of God as a person is complete. Here's his activities. Here's his qualities. Here's the way that he speaks and the way that he engages in loving exchanges with others. What to speak of the Sambandha, that, you know, that all this is taking place by the movements of his energies. Like this discussion during Radhastami of all the gopis, millions, 10 million gopis are expansions of Radha, and Radha is his internal potency. So it's phenomenal. The spiritual world. So how does it work? By the will of the Supreme Lord. He's enjoying. That's his nature. And we're part and parcel of him. So we also wish to enjoy. It's our nature. And then it's a choice between, the free will choice between in relation to him or separate from him. So that idea of separate from him is an illusory sense. And so this realm is created to fulfill that desire of enjoyment separate from him, but it doesn't exist. It's a reflection. The reflection of something exists, but the reflection isn't the something. It's a reflection. Like, here's an apple, here's a mirror, and then there's a reflection of the apple in the mirror. There's a reflection of the apple in the mirror, but there's no apple. There's no nourishment. There's nothing. It's just reflect and turn the mirror a little and the reflection is gone. Now you see it, now you don't. It's just a reflection. And that the nature of the illusory energy is such as we're really convinced or like stubbornly determined to try to be enjoyers of the reflection. And as spiritual awakening is, there's another reality besides the reflection. So Kapila's teaching is to take one to that reality and having a clear idea of the reflection. Even there's reflection, it's not like the various life forms, well, they're just reflections. It's not the real thing. But inside the body, there's the real thing. There's the living entity, and there's the Supreme Lord. And so respect goes on that platform, and appropriate to the stage of consciousness, we respect. We respect, like, the, you know, the Pope is touring in America now, so all kinds of respect goes to the Pope. From people from all different, not just, you know, the Catholic Church, people from all over the place, they're revering the Pope because he's a representative of God in a certain way. And so respect goes to that person. And then it doesn't mean we disrespect others that aren't the Pope. It's just that appropriate to the position and consciousness, then honor goes. Respect goes. But in all cases, respect, even the insignificant ant, as Prabhupada would say. Respecting life, samadarshana. As Krishna sees, where the elevated devotee also sees. Okay, hi Krishna. Any discussion?
In my office, I have some very good subordinates. Most of them are Chinese.
Okay.
But they are also like some of the most brilliant persons I have met ever in my life.
Uh-huh.
Kind of persons.
Uh-huh.
In fact, one is truly excellent. And I also find that in their overall demeanor and character, although they do not have any spiritual conception of life, but in terms of the qualities that they manifest, sometimes it's hard to find even in devotees. I'm wondering, like, what I can do in the position that I have, where yes, they report to me and I have good relationships with them. What can I do to bring? I mean, what are some of the things that would like to share that I can do to
help them move towards Krishna.
Krishna.
One of the questions that we discussed on Sunday, Yuli's question in the park, and we're sitting there for a while. So is it that when we interact with others, we want them to become devotees? And I modified the language by saying what we want is that we can somehow be an instrument of Krishna to help them move closer to Krishna. Whatever is appropriate for the circumstance and the person. And that's a relationship, or a, with Krishna in the center, relationship between myself and the other person. Krishna is in the center. What are some of the things that you can do to help them move closer to Krishna? Very much depends upon their interest. Start with the obvious one, and that's prasadam. It's a loving exchange. Mukte bojayate chaiva. Giving prasadam and receiving. And you could explore, you know, offline, or as part of a discussion. It's just an idea, but you know, invite whatever thoughts they have about their goal of life. What's important to you? What's, you know. When you're 80 years old and you look back on your life, what is it that you can be happy that you were able to accomplish? And depending upon the response, you could consider probing, these things are temporary. And then it's kaput. So what happens after that? Is there any value, like a higher goal, towards, like, you know, so much energy spent to prepare your education to come to this stage, and now using that education to develop your skills and your, you know, application abilities, which you're really good at, and then marriage and children and then grandchildren and then wrinkled and shriveled and gone. So is there something, do you see that there's something more than that as a value of life? What are your thoughts about that? It's an idea. Now, they may not be so engaging. And, you know, alternatively, you know, they're used to it from Christian people who push their ideology, you know, like anything. So you could say, you know, I'm from India, and I have practices, you know, that I do in my family life. And would you be interested in reading something about it? And, you know, so literature. If there's something that you find that's, you know, you have some curiosity about, I'll be glad to discuss that with you. Or, you know, just engaging. When you grew up in China, were there spiritual teachings that you had, and now that you're here in America, there's this abundance of opportunities for spiritual teachings. What's that experience been like for you? Kind of human interest question. And then you'll find out, you know, I'm not interested at all, or I've been bombasted and I'm not really interested. Or, you know, yeah, I found some things, but I'm not really sure, or whatever. You get the, you know, topography, landscape of what their position is. And depending upon their position. Or, you know, are you vegetarian? Have you thought about being vegetarian? What are the values of being vegetarian? And aside from, you know, here's some of the health reasons, here's some of the humanitarian reasons. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with Buddha's teachings of compassion and so forth. So there's the, all those reasons. Have you thought about that? And if you're interested, I can share some things about vegetarianism, the benefits of it and the detriments if you don't. And in fact, my wife teaches a cooking class at the university. You know, if you're interested, we can share with you or your wife and family how to, you know, and with balance of food types and like it's a whole thing, mm-hmm. and spices, and I'm sure in Chinese culture there's all kinds of that understanding also for health, and you balance things this way, that way. Maybe you could share with me if you know what those things are. I'd be interested to hear. Or even start at a simpler level, just like getting to know the person. How long have you been living in America? What was it like getting adjusted to living over here? Do you keep in touch with your family back in China? Do they come and visit you? You know, just human interest. What's the age of your children? Anyway, how are they doing in school? So it's just like a relationship. And because of our spiritual values, we've been homeschooling. Because, this entry level into discussion that naturally leads into Krishna's in the center. But something that's comfortable in the beginning. And, you know, some persons are private and they don't want to talk. So it's okay. Here's some more prasadam. I really appreciate how Ajita at Illinois Institute of Technology brought a number of Chinese students to the point of, it was very, very gentle, and they came on their own to the conclusion that I really need a goal of life besides prosperity. I don't know what it is yet. Mine, but I know I need one. Because I see so many prosperous people and their lives are hollow, and I don't want that. I've learned that from... That was with their internship program where they couldn't teach Bhagavad Gita. They were, avowedly not to do that. So, in the workplace, you don't want to be perceived as a proselytizer through the medium of your position. You are who you are at the same time. You're just being affable and warm, that's okay. That's why I started with this thing to get the higher goal of life.
When we appreciate non-devotees, so the appreciation goes to the person as well and Krishna, because the qualities they have are also Krishna given those qualities. What's the proper way of,
Are you speaking in terms of your own internal consciousness, or are you speaking in terms of your behavior?
He was appreciating his co-workers. So I was thinking, the qualities in these people, they come from Krishna, or how?
Of course, everything comes from Krishna. What doesn't come from Krishna? Everything comes from Krishna. So those qualities come from Krishna. Now, here's an apple, here's a mirror. So there's the quality, but circumstance has created the quality, and circumstance can change the quality. And sat is, it doesn't change based on circumstance. not created by circumstance or taken away by circumstance. No, we're not there yet either. Like, you know, we're circumstantial people. We're not transcendentalists, fully realized transcendentalists. Circumstances can change our attitude and speech and behavior. But good quality is so to change the reflection into the object, it takes the whole process of transcendence. So we respect. Because this is a very pious person to have these qualities. And Krishna is given the qualities, but then there's the person whose piety has manifested these nice qualities coming from Krishna. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful. We can understand behind that person, there's piety. Otherwise the quality wouldn't be there. And just by some arrangement, they've taken birth in such and such place and have such and such family and have such and such qualities. But behind there's this piety. Definitely, and aside from qualities, brilliance. That's another opulence that comes from Krishna. We can respect the piety behind that in that person's past and respect Krishna for decorating them with these nice qualities and brilliance of intelligence. Both internally and our speech and behavior towards them. That's, a certain kind of respect because. And then in a relationship, just like Yuli's question on Sunday, in our relationship with them, while respecting them, as we do with one another, with them too, to be an instrument of Krishna, to come closer to Krishna, which was the question, how to help. So that then that becomes the relationship of respect and assisting as Krishna's instrument, come closer to Krishna. So then, Krishna's up here, and we're down here, and the other person is down here, and we're respecting them, and we're building a relationship of going to Krishna. As opposed to I'm up here, the other person's down here, and I'm just being very kind and helping them come up to where I am. Not nice. False ego. Happiness of motive goodness. That kind of compassion is not what's indicated. Compassion is, as an instrument of Krishna's compassion, what would Krishna, what intelligence is Krishna giving me to be his instrument, to be in a relationship with this other person, to come closer to Krishna? And I'm sure that there's something within them that can help me, like, their good qualities. And that's inspiring. Good qualities are inspiring. And then ground that in devotion to Krishna. Make such an offering to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.